All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Ches. So our shir today is sponsored by David Kahana in memory of his father-in-law, Zev ben Shlomo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama will have an aliyah. And of course, as we've been doing for the last little while, for the refuah shleima of Charna Tova Bas Rachalea, Rabbi Sonnenschein's mother, we welcome back Rabbi Sonnenschein, and halavai she should be zocha to a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen.
So we'll say, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember, we ended off on the top, well, we ended off on the last line of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, but we are focused on a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, a very specific machlokes about the topic of Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos or Ein Chuppah L'Psulos. Namely, what we were focusing on, remember, just to link this back even a little bit further, the Mishnah we had on Nun Vav Amud Beis was a machlokes between the Tanakama, who we identified as Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. Namely, the topic being, if a Kohen marries someone who he is not permitted to marry, so the Shaila is, at what point in time does he disqualify her from consuming Truma? So according to Rabbi Meir, when does he disqualify her as of? Already from the time of Erusin. And according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Erusin does not disqualify. It would only be Nisuin that would disqualify. Kind of as a carryover from that machlokes, the Gemara brings down this machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, and the Shaila is Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos or Ein Chuppah L'Psulos. What does that mean? Let's say a man skipped Kiddushin, he went, and now again, when I say man, remember Rashi pointed out this case as dealing with the situation of a Kohen Gadol who was marrying an Almana who herself was a Bas Kohen. Now remember why that's important, because before she married, remember, whoever she was married to the first time, that's really irrelevant for us. But when she's widowed, what ends up happening? She's able to go back to her father's house and once again consume Truma. So now, at this point in time, she is consuming Truma. Now the Kohen Gadol brings her under the chuppah. Obviously, Kohen Gadol is not permitted to go out and marry an Amana. So the Shaila is, the chuppah itself is not Kiddushin. On the other hand, again, chuppah is a much more advanced stage of marriage. So the Shaila is, does bringing her under the chuppah go ahead and preclude her from eating Truma or not? So Rav said, yes, Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos, and Shmuel said, Ein Chuppah L'Psulos. And what we ended off yesterday is that Shmuel demonstrated that even according to Rav, there would be circumstances where there's Ein Chuppah L'Psulos. And when was that? When the chuppah will not result in what we'll call a normative or halachically recognized bia, then Lemaisa again, even Rav would agree that Ein Chuppah L'Psulos. Okay, so that's just our reorientation. Let's pick up last line. Amrei Bar Chama, Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos, in the topic of whether or not there is a chuppah for psulos, Banu L'Machlokis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. We come to the Machlokis of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shimon. Top of Nun Ches. L'Rabbi Meir, D'Amer, Kiddushin, Pasle, Chuppah Nami, Psula. So Rabbi Lazar says the Gemara like this. Now remember, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Bar Chama. So Rabbi Bar Chama suggests, if Rabbi Meir, remember, Rabbi Meir is the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, if Rabbi Meir is going to be the one who says that Kiddushin Psulin, that Kiddushin that is illegal, goes ahead and precludes a woman from eating Truma, then it goes without saying that what? Chubinami Pasla. Then of course Chub is going to Pasla her as well. The Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon Amri Kiddushin Lo Pasli, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Kiddushin does not Pasl, remember again, they are the ones, that's the second opinion in our Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Beis, Chuppah Nami Lo Pasla. Then certainly again, Chuppah will not Pasl as well. To which the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Chuppah Eino Kone Below Kesef Oshtar Okidushe Bia Okidise Parakaman. And I will say the logic behind that is, if Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are going to say that Kiddushin doesn't Pasl, and Kiddushin Mamish is a true mechanism of marriage, so all the more so Chuppah, which is a mechanism, albeit not the mechanism for affecting the first stage of marriage, will of course not Pasl as well. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Umimai, how do you know? Now remember, Rami Bar Chama is extending the shitos of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, then to say that Rabbi Meir who holds that Kiddushin won't work, Rabbi Meir who holds that Kiddushin passels certainly will hold that Chuppah passels, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon who hold that Kiddushin does not pass off from eating Truma, will also say that Chuppah doesn't pass off. Which the Gemara says, how do you know to make that extension? Umimai, Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Meir Hasam, ela bikiddushin de kanila. Maybe Rabbi Meir only holds that it's only illegal Kiddushin. We'll say, remember again, same case, for the sake of, we'll call textual symmetry, let's just use the same case. The case of where the Kohen Gadol is going ahead and doing kiddushin with the almana. So what does Rabbi Meir hold in that case where the kohen gadol does kiddushin with the almana and the almana is a bas kohen? What does he hold? What does he hold? No truma. She can't eat truma anymore. Maybe it's only in that case because kiddushin mamish affects marriage. Aval chuppah delo kanala lo. But Rabbi say, what does chuppah do? What does chuppah by itself accomplish halachically? The truth is, what does it accomplish halachically? Not really anything. I mean, it'll accomplish something after kiddushin, but as a first step in solidifying halachic marriage, chuppah really does very little. So lemaisa, perhaps Rabbi Meir only holds that it's only in the case of kiddushin that the almana would no longer be able to eat the truma of her father's home because kiddushin is kona. But in the case of chuppah is not really kona. Maybe she could continue to eat. Inami, furthermore, ad kan lo ka'amri Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Hasam ela bikiddushin dilo karivi labia. Furthermore, maybe Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, why do they hold in the Mishnah that when the Kohen Gadol betroths the Almana, that she could still continue to go ahead and eat the truma of her father's home? You know why? Because Lemaisa, Kiddushin is not Karov Labia. Right? Kiddushin, there are many steps. There are still steps in between the act of Kiddushin and the actual act of them consummating the marriage, at which point she comes into her home. Aval chuppa dekriva lebia, hachanami de pasla, but maybe chuppa, which is a step closer to bia than Kiddushin, perhaps even they would agree that Kohen Gadol's chuppa with the almana would preclude her from going ahead and eating the truma of her father's home. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the way Rami Bar Chama framed the machlokes here is wrong. That this case over here by chuppah, you can't automatically... Let's see, let me be clear. What Rami Bar Chama was just trying to simply do is he was trying to assume that the same machlokes in the Mishnah, in the case of Kiddushin, about when there is an illegal Kiddushin, let's say, between the Kohen Gadol and the Amana, that same machlokes in Rabbi Meir on one side, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon on the other side, would be the same machlokes by chuppah. All the Gemara is demonstrating is what? Not necessarily so. Ella... Rather, if anything, you'll have to say that the machlokes about yesh chuppah or ein chuppah lepsulos is echoed in this machlokes tanin, this sanya. Listen to this. Nisu zu vizu. If he married, Rashi says over here, nisu kohen, zu vizu. So if a kohen married zu vizu, either this woman or that woman, or who is this woman or that woman, ksheros o psulos, whether they are kasha women or pasul women, ushinichnesu l'chupa below nivalu, or for that matter, again, they entered into the chupa, but relations did not occur. We're going to define all of these pieces in just a moment. Ochlos mishalo, va'ochlos b'truma. They are permitted to eat of his, and they are permitted to eat of truma. Rashi says, ochlos mishalo. Actually, I'm skipping a little bit ahead. I'm not going to do that yet. Ochlos mishalo, va'ochlos b'truma. So now the Gemara analyzes this. Now, I'll say, remember, so here's what this statement is teaching me. Even though when we read it right now, it's not going to make so much, bless you, but we'll dissect it and make sense of it. A Kohen marries either this kind of woman or that kind of woman. What does that mean? Either a Kshera or a Psula. And then what happens? Either Nisu or Nichnesu L'Chuppa. Velo nivalu, but relations did not happen. They're permitted to truma. Now, what can you extrapolate from there? That if a Kohen went ahead and did a chuppah with a woman who is psula, what is halacha? She can continue to eat truma, right? Which would seem to indicate that what? That chuppah does not pasul. Now, again, we're going to dissect that in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Below nivalu ochlus mishlova ochlus truma. Nichnisu, michlal dinisu, nisu mamish. Now, Rabosai, remember that this lashon over here of the first part of the brisa was nisu zuvizu, and then it said o nichnesu l'chuppah. So that makes it sound like the case of nisu is what? Mamish nisuin, full-fledged nisuin. Rashi says over here, Michlal dinisu mamish bebi'ila. That what does it mean? What does it mean, nisuin mamish? Mamish with bia. So he says, b'tmiya, v'chi bia b'psula mi'ika l'man da'amar b'lo pasal mitruma d'bein asha, ele pirush kamifarish nisu rabosai. So remember, what that would mean, now this is very dramatic and it can't be true, because if that would be true, that would be saying, that if a Kohen marries someone who he's not allowed to marry, and bia actually occurs, that the breast is actually ruling that what? That she could eat truma. So that obviously can't be correct. El alav kigon shenichnesu l'chupa velo nivalu. Rather, what must be the case? The case that the Braisa must be referring to over here is where she entered into the chupa, but bia did not take place. Because we'll say, remember, once bia takes place, it's game over. Why is it game over? Why is it game over? Because what happens once the bia takes place? What is she? She's a halala. Once she's a halala, it's clear that she can't go ahead and eat truma. So therefore, the Gemara is setting up that maybe this case of the brisa, where there is technically an illegal marriage to a kohen, but she's still able to eat truma, maybe this is a case where she entered into the chuppah, but bia did not occur. And yet, what do we see? V'katani ochlos mishalo v'ochlos b'truma. Oh, and what does the brisa say? The brisa clearly says that she's permitted to eat. She's permitted to eat truma. I was like, what does that show you? What does that show you? That ain chuppa lepsulos. That lamaisa, if a man does chuppa with a woman who is pasul to him, that does not preclude her from going ahead and eating truma. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Shmuel the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said, "Kol shebi asa ma'achilasa chuppa ma'achilasa." Any situation where bia with the kohen would entitle her to go ahead and eat truma, so the chuppah also does so. V'chol she'in bi'asa ma'achilasa, ein chupasa ma'achilasa. In any case where the bia would not entitle her to eat, so ultimately the chuppah does not eat her. Take a look at Rashi. Ein chupasa ma'achilasa, im bas Yisraeli, va'aliba de mishna achrona disnan, bezin shachareim amru, ein ha'isho cheles b'truma at shetikanis l'chupa. Ve'am Rabbi Yishmael chupa psula eina ma'acheles v'ua din bia midemakish chupa l'bia masha din bas koin hi chupa posata kibiasa. And Rabbi say, according to what Rabbi Yochanan Baroka is saying, is he's suggesting that what? He's arguing, right? The first opinion in this price, so went ahead and said that l'maisa chupa doesn't basel. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka says, absolutely not. Chuppa and bia are tied together. So if the bia would allow you to go and eat truma, then the chuppa would allow you to eat truma. If the bia would disqualify you from eating truma, then what? Then what? Chuppa would do so as well. So the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps this is the machlokes. This machlokes over here is the same machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Mimai. Now one second. Let's analyze this. How do we know? Dilma Rabbi Shmuel benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, k'Rabbi Meir svirelei. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yochanan ben Baroka, simply holds like Rabbi Meir. The Amar Kiddushin lo achla. Hi kol shekein. Excuse me. So we'll say, listen to this. Remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir was the first opinion on the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amaleis. I know there's a lot of moving pieces over here, but it'll all come together. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yochanan ben Baroka, holds like Rabbi Meir. What did Rabbi Meir say in the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amaleis? What was Rabbi Meir's shita? That an illegal Kiddushin does what? Prohibits the woman from eating truma anymore. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka just simply holds like Rabbi Meir. The Amar Kiddushin lo achla. Hi, kol she'in, so the Gemara, who says Kiddushin, once there's illegal Kiddushin, she can't eat. If that's the case, hi, kol she'in bi'asa ma'achilasa in chupasa ma'achilasa, then instead of saying whatever bia would disqualify her from eating truma, so too the chupa would, kol she'in bi'asa ma'achilasa in kaspa ma'achilasa mi'boile. So you both say, the Gemara says, remember, that doesn't make sense in the wording of Rabbi Shlomo ben Baroka, because Rabbi Shlomo ben Baroka said, any situation where the bia would disqualify her, then what? Then chupa does. So if that's the case, it is really reflecting the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is not talking about bia. What is Rabbi Meir talking about? Kiddushin. So then you should be able to say that any situation in which the chuppah would disqualify her, Kiddushin would disqualify her as well. To which the Gemara says, Dilma, I did the Amar Tanakama chuppah, Amar Ihu Nami chuppah. Well, it could be that Rabbi Shlomo ben Baroka really does hold, like Rav, and the only, like Rabbi Meir, and the only reason he used Lashon of Chuppah, Rabbi say, here the Gemara is saying, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka was really focused, was really echoing the Shita of Rav, then you don't have to have any discussion about Bia, because Rav is already backing up the process. Rav already says that if there is Kiddushin with an illegal mat, if there is illegal Kiddushin, that already precludes her from going ahead and eating Truma. You don't have to talk about bia. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, we'll just call him Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel really did not need to mention chuppah. The only reason he mentioned chuppah was because of the opinion of the Tanakama. Because since the Tanakama held that even with chuppah, as long as there's not bia, she can still eat truma even if it's an illegal chuppah. In bi'ein chuppah l'psulos. So Rabbi Shmuel also used the notion of chuppah, but he really is not referring to chuppah, he's really referring to kiddushin. Amar Rav Amram, Hamil sa amalan Rav Sheshes, ve'aharinhu le'aynin mimas nisim. So Rav Avram said, this particular matter was told us by Rav Sheshes, and literally he opened our eyes from the Mishnah. What did he teach us? Yesh chuppah lepsulos. there is chuppah for psulos. Okay, there is chuppah. There is chuppah lipsulos, which Rabbi Sai again remember is the shita of Rav. Vitana tuna, and we have a tana that supports this idea. Where is the tana from? Rabbi Sai, the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah from a Seches Sota. So remember again, the Sota is the woman suspected of committing adultery. First part of the process is husband suspects his wife of committing adultery. He warns her against going ahead and being secluded with a man. If she violates that warning in front of two witnesses, without getting into all the details, and she's alone with this man for long enough for something to have occurred, then there's the whole process of the mesota, of the sota waters. So the Gemara says the following. Amen. Remember, again, she has to take a shvua. She takes a shvua when she's drinking the waters. And part of the shvua is she says, Amen shelo satisi arusa unesua shomeres yavam ukinusa. So she says, Amen, that I did not satisi, I did not do anything wrong, meaning I did not commit adultery when I was in arusa, when I was in a sua, when I was a shomeres yavam. Remember, a woman waiting for yibum ukinusa. And when I was married. Okay, so what's the case over here? What's the case over here? What is the case when she says, I didn't commit adultery when I was in Arusa? If you want to say it's a case where he warned her when she was in Arusa, and she drank when she was in Arusa. The Gemara says, one second. Arusa bas mishasyahi. Are you capable of making an Arusa into a sota? Meaning an Arusa doesn't become a sota. How do we know that? Because we learned Arusa v'shomeres yavam lo shosos v'lo not lo ksuva. Because Rabbi said we learned that an Arusa and a shomeres yavam does not drink the mesota, nor does she go ahead and take a ksuva. Look at Rashi. Rashi says lo shosos diba'inan tachas yisheich. Because Rabbi said, remember, the gzeres hakas of that sota only occurs when the woman is tachas yisheich. Tachas yisheich means what? She's living with her husband. She's living with her husband. So both that neither an Arusa nor a Shomeres Yavam are living with their husbands. Look at Rashi below. Note los ksuvasa imkina love and istra shi garma la'esaras hatzma alav. So again, if she was warned and she violates the warning, so you can subject her to the sota process, but she does lose her ksuva. Rashi, go back to the Gemara. Ella, so we'll say the case of Arusa can't be a situation where what? Can't be a situation where she's being warned and drinking in during Erusin, because there's no warning and drinking during Erusin. Ella dikani la kishi Arusa vistatra. Rather, it must be what? He warned her when she was in Arusa, and what? Because statra, she says, "Kani la kisherusa because statra beirusa v'nasa umashkala." Rather, it must be again that she warned her when she was in Arusa. She became old. She was secluded during the sua, and he ultimately goes in and gives her to drink. The Gemara says, "Kamashkala kishinu sua." So mi bat gilemaya. In that case, would the warders check her? V'hatanya, we learned v'nika ish me'avon. Remember, the Torah says that the husband, after subjecting his wife to this process, if she dies as a result, the husband is not liable in her death. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Bisman sha'ish menuka me'avon ha'mayim bodkin es ishto. So remember again, in a situation where the man is free from sin, that is when the waters check his wife. Ein ha'ish menuka me'avon. However, if the man is not free from sin, ein ha'mayim bodkin es ishto, the water will not check his wife. Now, I will say, what would be wrong over here? Look at Rashi. Menuka me'avon shelo ba'al el achar shenistara shatora asra lav shmarina shenitma. We'll say, in this case over here, of where she was warned and she was secluded during Erusin, and then he still went through with Nisuin, that means what? That he had relations with his wife after she had violated the Sota warning. If that's the case, Rabbi Sai, if a man lives with his wife after she violated the Sota warning, so the whole Sota process does not work. So that can't be the case. Ella, dikani la kishahi arusa. Rather, it has to be what? He warned her when she was in Arusa. V'istachra v'nichnesa l'chupa v'lo nivala. And what happened? She then was alone with the man with whom she was warned about. Then they entered into chuppah, and what? And what? And they did not have relations. Rabbi say, and what? Ushmamina yesh chuppah l'psulos. Rabbi say, now what's the chap over here? This is very interesting. What's the chap over here? Remember, while they're walking down to the chuppah, what state is she in? Right, it must be one strange wedding. Remember, again, when she's going to the chuppah, she's violated the sota warning. Right? She's violated this other. He warned her. She was alone. And now he's still marrying her. Remember, don't ask why. The why is irrelevant as to why he's still marrying her. He wants the tax write-off, like as you said before. Whatever it is. Lemaisa, again, this is now a situation of a chuppah psula. Why is this a chuppah psula? This woman really is illegal to him. He's not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to have relations with this woman. And yet what? And yet what? It's clear from the Braisa that the chuppah works. Therefore, you see from here what? Yesh chuppah lepsulos. That chuppah does work. There is a concept of chuppah. There is a concept of chuppah. Ultimately, again, for even psulos. Is there any way out? She doesn't He could technically continue to live with her, meaning the marriage works. He could divorce and they could remarry her. That's the way out of this. So I'll just point out. Fine. Shmamina yesh chuppah lepsulos. Amar Rava. So Rava says v'tizbara daha mitaretz tohi v'ha ki asa Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midroma asa v'aisi mas nisin biadei. Says comes along Rava and Rava says one second. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I'm sorry, not yet. No, I'm sorry. Look at Rashi. Shmamina. Rashi says Shmamina midikamashkala. Since he's giving her to drink yesh chuppah lepsulos v'karinan beit tachas isheich. Dikani la chuppa, the afagav de la chazi lebiya de haasurla mishanistra. So Rabbi say again, what you see from here is what? That lamaisa, yesh chuppa lepsulos, that you could go ahead and even affect chuppa with a woman who is asur to you. Amar Rava v'tizbira. So Rava says, one second. He says, the ha mitaretz tehi, the ha ki asur Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midroma asa, when Rabbi Acha bar Chanina came from the south. And he came with the following teaching. The Pasuk says, remember by Sota, that she had relations with a man, not her husband. To which now comes along Rava and says, this whole thing doesn't make sense. You know why? Because Rabbi Acha taught us explicitly that what? That the whole Sota process, Rabosai, is only when relations with the husband preceded the relations with the man with whom she is alleged to have an affair. But Lemaisa, if the relations with the man with whom she had the affair preceded the relations with the husband, she doesn't qualify for the Sota process. Arya Barchama, Mashkachas Lakigon Sheba'a Leha Arusa Bevei Savia. No, you could have this situation. How can you have the situation where he had relations with her when she was in Arusa, still living in her father's home? Still living in her father's home. Now, what does that mean? Now, if he had relations with her, isn't he married, right? Doesn't he affect Nisuin like that? And the answer to that is no. How? If he did not have Kavana for Nisuin, he just had Kavana for Znus. So he had relations with her. He had relations with her while she was still in Arusa, but not for the intent of affecting marriage. In which case, what have you done? You've satisfied the criteria of Mibala Dei Sheikh. She's had relations with him first, but yet she's still in Arusa. De Kavasa Gabish Shomeres Yavam. A parallel case could be found by Shomeres Yavam, because we're both saying, remember, going back to the beginning of this Braisa, this Braisa lumped together this idea that he could go ahead and administer the Sota oath to his wife for any adultery that she may have committed while she was in Arusa, a Nesua, or a Shomeres Yavam. So now the question is, now what we're establishing is that in order to go ahead and qualify for the Sota process, she must have had relations with her husband or Yavam prior to relations with the adulterer. So we just established how that could happen in a case of Erusin. How does it happen in a case of Shomeres Yavam? Sheba aleha Yavam beveis chameha. That apparently that would be a case of what? Where the Yavam had relations with her while she was waiting for Yibam in her father's house. The Gemara says, one second. Shomeres Yavam karis le'ishto me'al yehi. What are you talking about over here? I will say, Shomeres Yavam, if he has relations with her, then what? She's considered to be, that's it, that's marriage. So the Gemara says, Daha Amarav, Karla Kabasa, remember we had this machlokes. Rav and Shmuel, who say what? Rav holds that Bia is Bia is Bia, and Lamaisa, no matter what the Bia looks like, no matter how it takes place, no matter what the Kavanas are, Bia is Konet for Yibun purposes. And that's, we saw, that's how he passed him. So Rav says, Amarav, Karla Kol. Kishmuel da amar lo kana. Oh, maybe the price reflects if you have Shmuel who holds that no, only bia with the intention of affecting yibum actually goes ahead and affects yibum. But let's say if he had kavano for znus, such a bia would not be kona. So the Gemara says, one second. Amar af kana lekal kishmuel da amar lo kana. Ela ledvarim ha'amurim beparsha. Shmuel holds a bosite that the bia, or a bia that is not done for the sake of Yibum, will only acquire her, literally stated, for things that are stated in the parasha of Yibum. Rabbi, we're going to come back to this Yisur in tomorrow's daf to try to analyze exactly what this means. To which the Gemara says, what kind of answer is that? Midihu taima el raf. Rabbi said, remember, this whole discussion is only legabe raf, ha'amarav, and yet Rav is the one who said, Kanalakol, that Lamaisa, again, you could go ahead and you could be kona her for all purposes, meaning that again, any act of bia will go ahead and be kona her. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? Hachabamaya skinon, what's the situation over here? Kegon da avad ba ma'amar. Oh, so what we'll say, remember, I just understand what we're trying to do over here. We're trying just to simply figure out how can you have a case. Remember, we're trying to figure out how to have a sota case of a shomeres yavam. Okay, so just get ready for this. So we're trying to figure out how can you have a sota case of shomeres, given the fact that sota only works if the bia of the husband preceded the bia of the boel, the adulterer. So I understand I could have that in the erison case. That's where the husband had relations with his wife while she's still in arusa, not for the sake of affecting any kind of marriage. Okay, how can you have that in a yibum case? After all, again, we paskin like Rav that any kind of bia is kona for yibum. To which the Gemara says, what's the case over here? Kegon da avad ba ma'amar. Oh, the case is where he went ahead and he did ma'amar. Rashi says, kegon da avad ba ma'amar. So he did ma'amar, and then afterwards had relations with her, but the relations are for the sake of znus, not for the sake of yibum. Ubeishamahi, and this reflects even ubeishamahi, the amar ma'amar kone kinyan gamar, and beishamahi hold that ma'amar is kone, a full and complete kinyan. So the Gemara says, one second, ihachi, hainu arusa. If that's the case, now that you set it up like that, where there was ma'amar, essentially kiddushin, and then what? And then bia, for the sake of znus, then that's the same case as Erusin. Look at Rashi. Obe shamahi de amri perak dalet achin. We learned this already. Ma'amar kone kinyan gamar leasos arusa gimura vehefrich es zekas hayibum v'su lo mekanyula bebeyas bebiyas mezid ela b'mesiras chupa ki isha ba'alma ki damrina b'dalet achin v'shum hachi karlo shumaras yavam afila achar bia. But say, listen to this. Remember, this was the interesting thing that we don't pass it in this way. But Be Shamai holds that, remember, when you do ma'amar, this is actually very interesting. It's not to say the other stuff is not interesting. Everything's interesting. According to Be Shamai, when you do ma'amar with a woman, what have you done? You fundamentally transformed the nature of this union from a yibum union to what? To a normative marital union. Which means what? That after you do ma'amar, that is essentially kiddushin. And how? Remember, if it was a regular yibum case, so how would you affect the marriage? Yeah. Bia. But now that you've transformed it into regular marriage, away from yibum, then what? Now you have to do chuppah. Therefore, again, what happens in this case? According to Beis Shammai, you did ma'amar, transform it into regular marriage. Then what does he do afterwards? He has bia with her, but bia for the sake of what? Bia for the sake of znus, which does not affect anything. And therefore, lemaisa, he had relations with her prior to the adulterer. And that's it. You can have the sota case, because Rashi ends off here. Rashi says, the ila Beis Hillel, lo olim ma'amar lahafriach zekas yavnin. Because remember, according to Beis Hillel, as much as ma'amar works, almost like as a declaration of intent that he's going to do yibum, it doesn't transform the union from yibum to regular marriage. Because also remember, interestingly enough, according to Beis Hillel, even if he did ma'amar, if there was bia right after that ma'amar, even bia l'shem znus, that still does what? That still affects marriage. And so, this is very interesting. So now, we found the case where you could have a situation of a shomeres yavam who is still subject to the laws of sota. How can she be subject to the laws of sota? She's a shomeres yavam. She has to first have had relations with her quote-unquote husband, yavam husband, even though he's not fully her husband yet, before relations with the man with whom she's alleged to have adultery. So she says, oh, it could happen. If he did ma'amar, according to Beis Shammai, that then transforms this entire union from a yibum union to a normal marriage, then he has bia with her for the sake of znus, which doesn't affect any kind of marriage, but yet it's relations. So now again, if she goes in and commits adultery, that's still adultery, because again, she's waiting for Yibum, but and the bia of the husband preceded the bia of the boil. Okay. If that's the case, then you have two repetitive cases. So then the case of Yibum, of Shomer Yavam, is the same thing as the case of Arusa. Because now essentially what we're saying is we've transformed the case of Yibum into Arusa. So I need two cases. Ulatamech, the Gemara says, you're right, but using that same logic, Nesua Ukinusa Lav Chadam Milsehi. So the Gemara says, I will tell you the same thing. Aren't the cases of Nesua and Kinusa, aren't they also the same thing? Rabosa, remember, going back to the beginning of the Braisa, so the Braisa said, Amen Shlosatisi Arusa Nesua Shomeres Yavam Ukinusa. So the Gemara says, aren't the cases of Nesua and Kinusa the same thing? To which the Gemara says, Ella Nesua Dide Ukinusa de Chavre. Rather, says the Gemara, you're right. The truth is, Nesua refers to what? Nesua refers to a woman whom I married on my own volition. Woman I married on my own. Kinusa Rabosa refers to who? Refers to a woman I married through Yibum. So they're both called marriage. But they're just different terms for each of these ideas. Kinusa de Chavrei, of my friend. My friend literally means, Rashi says over here, de Chavrei Ochiv. The Avimto Shaykh Lashon Knisa. So just like again, Nesua means my marriage, that a woman I marry on my own. Knusa means the wife of my friend, i.e. my deceased brother, Yibum. Hachanami Arusa Didei Vishomeras Yavam de Chavrei. So too, over here, you'd have to say that Arusa refers to a woman that I betrothed on my own, versus Shomeras Yavam refers to a Yibum situation. So I will say, essentially what the Gemara is saying is that Lemaisa, really that Braisa is repetitive. There really are multiple cases of the same kind, but it's okay. The Gemara just wanted to prove this point, both by marriages that you enter in of your own volition, and marriages that you find yourself put into as a result of Yibum. Rav Papa says, Hai Tanahu. The Tana of our Mishnah is really the following Tana. This Sanya, because we learned, Ein Mekanin Lo La Arusa Lashkosa Kishi Arusa. You cannot go ahead and warn an Arusa to drink while she's in Arusa. Aval Mekanin Osa Lashkosa Kishi Nesua. But what can you do? You could go ahead and warn her, apparently now, while she's in Arusa, to go ahead and give her to drink while she's in Nesua. All right. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, here I will say, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rav Papa says, the Olam, now I just want to point out something. What comes out, this was a whole exhaustive discussion, but remember, we only wanted one point from it, which was what? Yesh Chuppa Lipsulos. That's the only thing we wanted to isolate. We got into a lot of different discussions, but the only principle we wanted to isolate was that chuppa is effective even by a woman who is usher to you. Because remember, again, we established that the case of Sota had to have been a case where Lemaisa, again, the Sota process took place while she was in Arusa, and yet he still went forward and did chuppa with her. So we see from there that Lemaisa, yesh chuppa lepsulos, which would support the position of Rav. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. So now comes along Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, not necessarily. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rav Papa Amar li olam lo teiduk minei di yesh chuppa, v'hacha kigom di kimila kishi arusa, v'nasa u'ba aleha, v'hadir istira u'mashkila ayde osa kinoi v'haytana. So also Rav Papa comes along and says, you guys got the case all wrong. What's the case? The case over here is where he warned her when she was in Arusa. And what happened? Chuppa took place, mazal tov, everything is good. And then what? Then she was secluded with the man after Nisuin, and then he gives her to drink. So when the chuppa took place, what was her status? Permitted. Listen, what's the status of a woman who has been warned by her husband not to be alone with a man? Nothing. It doesn't affect her status. So essentially what Rapapa is reframing the case. And Rapapa is saying the case over here, Lamaisa, is a situation where what? Where the woman was totally muteris. And what's the chiddush over here? The chiddush over here is that she could cause a woman to drink during Nisuin based on a warning that she received when? During Erisin. That's the chiddush over here. And therefore there's no proof from this Braisa in any way to yesh chuppa or in chuppa lepsulos. So Nachman by Yitzchak says, no, Ayidei Gilgal. The only way to go ahead and get her, to go ahead and take this Shavua, meaning Abbas, because remember, Sota is a Shavua, she has to take an oath that Lamaya says she did not commit adultery. The only way to do that, based on a warning that was given to her during Erusin, is based on what we call Gilgul Shavua. If you look at Rashi says, Nachman Masdisa Bidlo Kina Velo Istra Kishiarusa, Elekinola Mishinisa, Vistra Vistatra, Umashkila Ayidei Kino Ishal Achshav, Umegalgil Aleha Shavua, Kol Yom Mishaisa Tachta Mishinesra. So we'll say, so Nachman Yitzchak argues, and he says, no, you can't go ahead and cause her to drink during Yisuin based on a warning that was delivered during Erusin. Rather, what you can do is, once she's swearing about things that took place during Yisuin, you can make her swear about what? Things that took place during Erusin as well. Fine. Shalach Rav Chanina. So we'll say, so therefore, that discussion stops, and all that last piece came through is to try to show that the Mishnah and Sota does not provide a raya, whether or not Yesh or Ein Chopal Psulos. So the Gemara goes weiter. Shalach Rav Chanina, I want to come back to Yesh Chopal Psulos in just a moment. So he says, Shalach Rav Chanina Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'osem ma'amar bi'avim tovi yesh lo ach. Well, so listen to this. A man does ma'amar with his yivama. So let's keep this simple. Reuven dies, leaves behind the widow, leaves behind two surviving brothers, Shimon and Levi. What happens? So Shimon goes ahead and does ma'amar with the widow. V'yesh lo ach. Afilu hu kohen v'hi kohenes. Paslam in atshuma. We'll say, listen to this. So even let's say everyone's Kohanim, the brothers are Kohanim, and let's say the widow herself is a Bas Kohen, which means that when she was widowed, she was eating truma from her father's home. The Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan now says, that what? At this point in time, after the brother did ma'amar, she is no longer permitted to eat truma. Okay, what's going on over here? Rashi says, paslam in atshuma. Ad sheyichnos. So we'll say it's very intriguing. So apparently from the moment of Ma'amar until the time that Yibum is affected, she is not permitted to eat Truma. Okay. So Mar says, Laman, whose opinion is this reflecting? If you want to say it's Rabbi Meir, so the Gemara says, Emar da'am Rabbi Meir, mishtameres labia psula lo achla mida'oraisa. Now here's the chap. The chap over here is, technically speaking, she's in a little bit of a state of iser. Why is she in a state of iser? Because one brother did ma'amar with her, right? But yet what? The other brother, still what? Still has a biblical bond. Because remember, ma'amar, which is rabbinic, does not go ahead and undo the zika of the other brother. So technically speaking, she's had ma'amar with one brother, and she is rabbinic, but she's still tied to the other brother to whom she is rabbinically prohibited. So she is in a little bit of a state of what we'll call marital prohibition. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say that therefore, until she marries, she is not permitted to go ahead and eat truma. So Gemara says, well, where did he get that from? If you want to say it's Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says when a woman is waiting for a bia psula, a prohibited bia, she can't eat truma. Maybe Rabbi Meir only says that when the prohibition is daraisa, dirabbanan miara, but in this case, this is rabbinic, right? Biblically, there's no issue over here. It's only rabbinically because now he did ma'amar, that she's assuming dirabbanan until the other brother didn't do ma'amar. Ve'al Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rather, must you come to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Hashta mishtameres labia psula daraisa achla. Now that can't be. Because if also, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, even if a woman is mamish prohibited rabbinically, biblically, she's still permitted to eat truma up until she becomes a halal, until the bia becomes prohibited. Or until the bia prohibits her. So dirabbanan mi boy. Certainly in this case, where there's only an isa dirabbanan, of course they would allow her to eat as well. Elaki asa ravin amar asa ba ma'amar bivimto divrei akol achla. Rather comes along. Ravini says, no, you got it wrong. If we'll call it surviving brother one, we'll call him Shimon. Shimon is surviving brother one. If Shimon did ma'amar, everyone agrees that she's permitted to continue to eat truma. Now remember, whose truma is she eating at this point in time? Who's truma? Her father's truma. Everyone agrees she continues to eat truma. However, yesh lo ach cholal. Now it's getting interesting. What happens? Let's say, right, Reuven's dead. Shimon is brother number one, and there's Levi. Levi, Reuven, and Shimon do not share the same mother. They share the same father, but Levi was fathered by his Kohanic father and the Grusha. So Levi is a cholal. Still in the parsha of Yibam, but a chalal. Now, we'll say, now watch this. Now, this gets intriguing. Reuven dies, leaves behind his widow. Shimon does ma'amar with, now, truth is, you don't even have to get into this. Yesh l'achalal divrei akol eina ocheles. I will say, as long as there is a chalal in the picture, ma'amar, not ma'amar, is irrelevant, she, the widow, cannot eat truma. Why can't she eat truma? Because she has a marital bond, a zeka, to who? To a chalal. So fascinating. So this would be a situation. Now again, obviously this will be remedied when? This will be remedied as soon as she does yibum with, hopefully, brother number one. Then she's the wife of a kohen, not a problem. But until that point in time, she has a zeka, marital bond with a chalal, that precludes her from eating truma. Lo nechloku. So everybody agrees in that case. Where does the machlokis come up? Lo nechloku, ela shenasan laget. Oh, when does machlokis come up? If he gave her a get. Well, so let's say brother number one, Shimon gives her a get. Rabbi Yochanan says, under those circumstances, she can now eat. Reish Lakish Amar Eino Ocheles. Reish Lakish, she can't eat. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ocheles. Afil Rabbi Meir Eda Amar Eino Ocheles. Hani Mili Mishtemeres Labiyad Psula Doraisa. Aval Drabanon Achla. So we'll say, even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that when a woman is waiting for a bia that a Psula Doraisa, that's only true Doraisa. However, again, Midrabanon, Midrabanon, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi Elishanasan Laget, Kohen Liyavimto, Kohenes, Vakat Libi Asa Mishtameres, Ubi Asa Psula Midrabanon. He did get Mahani Baby Drabanon. Also remember, when the Yavam gives the Yavama a get, so that ultimately what? That makes her Asr Midrabanon to him. So maybe only when does Rabbi Meir say that a Bia Psula goes ahead and prevents you from eating Truma? That's only when the Isser is Doraisa. But if the Isser is Dirabanon, as it is in this case, then Lamaisa, what she still could be continued. She should still be able to eat. Veishlakisham, look at Rashi's mom. Sorry, I feel the Rabbi Elish. No, I'm sorry, not yet. Go back. Ella, I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ocheles. Reish Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ocheles. I feel Rabbi Meir to Amar Ein Ocheles. Hani Mili Mishteres Labia Psula Doraisa. Aval Drabban Ochle. Reish Lakisham Ein Ocheles. She cannot eat. Why? I feel Rabbi Elazar Shimon to Amri Ocheles. Hanimili diyesh lola hachel b'makom acher. So Rabbi Elazar says Reish Lakish, you can't eat. Why? Because even according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon, the reason they allow you to eat is why? Because this husband would have the ability to allow this woman to eat in a different situation, such as what? If he was a kohen marrying a woman to whom he was permitted to marry. However, aval hacha kevan de'in lola hachel b'makom acher lo. But in this case over here, through the mechanism of divorce, Rabbi Elazar, divorce is never a mechanism that would allow a woman to eat truma in a different context. But I even divorce. There could be a divorce where divorce allows her to go ahead and eat. Bechozeres. What's the case? The case over here is by divorcing her, she's able to go back to her father's home. If she's able to go back to her father's home, then what? Then she's permitted to go ahead and eat. To which the Gemara says, well, that's not fair. Chozeres paska mine ukrova lebeinasha. So here's the difference. Obviously, if he divorces her, that means he is no longer bound to her. If he's no longer bound to her, that's why she's permitted to eat. About ha, but in the case of Yibum Agidobe, she's still connected to him. So we'll say that case remains the machlokes. Just to tie up this loose end, how do we paskin by Yesh Chopal Psulos in Chopal Psulos? We paskin like Rav. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Trumos, we paskin like Rav, that Yesh Chopal Psulos. What does that mean effectively? What that means is that Lemaisa, if a Kohen Gadol were to go ahead and betroth a woman, or it doesn't have to be a Kohen Gadol, but I'll just use the most extreme. If Kohen Gadol were to betroth an Almana, right? Not betroth, were to bring an Almana under the Chuppah. And the Almana herself is a Bas Kohen, which means that after she's been widowed, she was permitted to go and eat the Truma of her father's home. If a Kohen Gadol were to bring her under the Chuppah, that Chuppah is considered to be halachically impactful, halachically effective, and therefore what? Obviously, again, would not necessarily affect full marriage, but once there was chuppah, would preclude her from going ahead and eating the truma of her father's home. That's what we pass. Halacha lemaisa, yesh chuppah lepsulos. I'm sorry? We still don't know what chuppah is, correct. That we'll have to wait for ksubas.